Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. So glad you joined me again today for this podcast. Today with my friend Merle Shank. Welcome, Merle.
Yes, thank you, Larry. So good to be here.
I had you on before, and of course, because of the whole succession process we're in. Yes. Again, I know this is going to many nations, as some of you may not know, but after 44 years of ministry in Dove International, we have the privilege of turning leadership over as international director to Merle and his wife, Sheree, coming up next April.
Yeah.
And excited about that.
Excited about that. I think one of the things that we really focus on in this, Larry, is in Romans, you know, talking about outdoing one another
yeah.
in honor. So you and I have this competition.
We do.
We've been traveling around the world for the last year and a half and competing of who can out-honor the other person.
Well, you have been so honorable, and it's been a real joy. I don't know how many nations we've been to in the last year and a half, but we've been literally over the world, over South America, India, Africa, North America.
Yeah.
I mean, going to Asia, I mean, on and on. It's been such a blessing. For those of you who don't know, Dove International was a family of churches started in 1980, first church of 25 people, and God, by His grace, grew that one church into a family of churches, more than 1,100 churches now in 26 nations, and we've seen God's hand on it all. It's been totally the grace of God.
Yeah.
But we know it's time for change. I'm 73, and you've got tons of years ahead of you, and the hand of God is on you, Merle, to lead this movement. And again, you've been so honorable in the process. It's been a joy to travel with you.
It has been a joy to work with you, Larry. There's just such a grace of God on your life, especially around the succession process. So I just, really want to honor that.
I appreciate that.
I think successions are always clunky, right? Like there's things you have to figure out.
Right.
And we're in the middle of a really good process.
We are.
Here,
we feel so blessed. Many successions do not go real well. Mm. And we even see in scripture sometimes when that's happened, some of the kings of the Old Testament.
Right.
And God's giving us grace for the succession process. And it's not just you and I, but in many levels all over our family of churches all over the world.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, with even as like the baby boomers age,
right?
Like so much, God has used them to do so much
in
the earth, and so many ministries were started and initiated. And now we're coming into a time where a lot of people who God used to start ministries, you know, are looking to hand the baton over.
That's
and
correct.
So it's a big thing.
That's happening. You know, Laverne and I watched the movie that came out, Jesus Revolution.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the Jesus movement. And I cried through that because we remember when that happened in California. Came east and happened here in, you know, in Pennsylvania. And
I was born around that time.
I know. But now, just to affirm what you're saying, a lot of those who came to Christ, who got involved in leadership in those early days, are now turning over ministries and movements and churches over to another generation. So it's a really, really important time. And I believe we're going to talk about some things on this podcast that will help other people as we understand leadership and what that looks like.
Yeah.
So, Merle, let's dive in. You served in Christian leadership for more than 20 years. Talk about that. What did that look like?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was something I always felt from even as like a young child being drawn towards leadership, being drawn towards missions, drawn towards the Lord. I mean, I remember growing up, there was a move of God that was happening.
Yep.
Kind of the tail end, I guess, of the Jesus movement, and having my childhood years, my formative childhood years, as God was moving in various ministries around this region, and just seeing people encounter the power of God, encountering the power of God myself as a young child, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, always kind of this sense that God would be calling me into some type of leadership or missions and the nations and that kind of thing.
Tell you what I remember about you. The first time I remember you, you were probably 4 years old or 5 years old, because one of the things God was doing was having teaching ministries where young people, we had a thing God led us to do called Rhema, and young people were coming to Christ week after week and being baptized in spirit, baptized in water. It was amazing. and receiving the Lordship of Christ, obviously. And your older brother, Daryl, was a worship leader.
Yep.
And he brought his little brother along, and that was you.
Yeah.
Yep. And you were like 4, 5, 6, I don't know, really young. That's the first I remember you. So.
Yeah. It took me along to all of these things. So honestly, like a lot of what I remember in those really early years, especially in the Dove family, was because of him.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And so just, continue on with your process.
We just, pursued the Lord with, you know, this desire to go to the nations, went on missions trips, was always involved in leading worship. Somebody mentored me in that, at a young age, I think in junior high school. Like, they were like, hey, we see something on you for this. Right. And, you know, kind of took me along, helped me be a part of a worship team. That was, you know, very early on. And then that kind of held throughout the next probably several decades. You know, I still love worship today.
I'm a worshiper at heart. You are,
But, and then went into Bible school, went in Bible college, came out.
But you were in different nations too doing this stuff, right?
Right, yeah.
Bible college, like we both live here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania right
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah.
Now, did that happen here?
The school I was a part of, the first year happened here. The second year actually happened in Florida.
Okay.
It was a part of like a base that was being planted. Mm-hmm. And it was a missional environment, like, you know, the church was being planted. So the school was happening in that environment.
Gotcha.
Right. So a lot of the students were used to do a lot of the planting work. Coming out of that, went to Australia. Sheree and I, we went and helped a leadership succession happen there, a transition between two leaders happen there. And that was kind of where I really learned to like cut my teeth in preaching. I was thrown in the deep end, you know. The leader that was coming into the lead pastoral role of the church that we were sent to had just doubled his business, and like just it went from like 30 employees to 60 or something. Wow. I forget the numbers exactly. And he was like, look, you're here for 3 months. I don't have any time to put into this. My business is booming. So you are leading the church services for the next 3 months. So two services a day or two services a Sunday. And I mean, I was just kind of thrown. I mean, we were taught to preach and everything in school, but it was now, you know, the rubber hits the road and
he threw you in the deep end, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we were raising up a praise and worship team. That was our official reason for being there, okay. But we were also there, you know, just helping the shift between two leaders in a church. And so I was helping to lead worship or helping the team lead worship. And then, preaching twice a Sunday for 3 months, and it was just kind of like, you know, here we are. And it was good. It was a great experience for us. Loved it.
And you eventually ended up in South Africa then, right?
Right. Yeah, we actually came back to this area. We traveled some more of itinerant ministry in Europe, and then came back to this area, was a worship leader for a year or two, and went to South Africa as a part of a church planting team, planted 5 different churches around the city of Cape Town. One of the church plants was the one that we wound up leading, the one that we wound up starting. So that's where I became a lead pastor.
Yeah, and that's so powerful. And then eventually you came back to USA and you started a school, Supernatural Ministry here, but you did that also in South Africa, right?
Right, yeah. We had an inner city church in Cape Town, South Africa, which I'm a country boy, you know, and there was a lot of challenges that we had to work through that I just didn't have a grid for, and a lot of very interesting stories we can tell out of that. But it was something where, you know, God, we just really leaned into the Lord for what we didn't know and what we didn't understand.
Right.
At that point, it was a lot, you know, like what we didn't understand. And we planted the church there, planted a school as well, like a 2-year program. Mm-hmm. And I saw after doing that for a while, I was like, man, like we're really producing students, but we're not necessarily producing ministers. So I was really praying about it to the Lord and like, God, what's something we can do? And I felt like the Lord led us to do a short-term school supernatural ministry. Mm. And we're just, you know, get people in, teach them about their identity, teach them about what God has done, what Jesus has done on the cross. And, talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and then go evangelize and go out on the street. We would teach and then go out in the streets, teach and go out in the streets, teach and do that. And that was actually more successful at getting people, like, you know, empowered and equipped.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we kept doing both for a while. When we moved back here then in 2016, here being Lancaster County, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, wound up leading a school for HarvestNet.
Exactly.
With Barry Whistler, who's now mm-hmm. one of our recognized spiritual advisors right. here in Dove. And he said, hey, come in. I don't mind if you're a Dove pastor and you're still connected to Dove, but we would love to have you plant or replant. He had a school of ministry already. And so got to do that for him. And that was my full-time job as a director. We built the school kind of based off of a template similar to Bethel.
Yeah.
And just an encounter school. Really, if I would sum it up, it was an identity evangelism school. Identity in God, mm-hmm. Getting... Mm-hmm. you know, your life, right, not right, but just understanding who God has created you to be
yes.
and how he's called you to walk and function and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what is available to every believer, you know, because of the cross and because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then how do we see that infiltrate our lives on a regular basis
yeah.
and being intentional
yeah.
To minister to people and to be vessels yeah. of ministry.
So. And one of your life messages, obviously, is walking the supernatural. And you've yeah. got a book, co-wrote with Kevin Kazemi, and yours truly, Encountering the Supernatural. yeah. Great, yeah. great book available. And in fact, check out the show notes if you're interested in getting that book, Encountering the Supernatural, Merle yeah. Shank, Kevin Kazemi, and Larry Kreider. Discover God's amazing presence and power in your life. Yeah, yeah. Great, great book.
Something that was kind of birthed out of some of the stories that we mm-hmm. encountered in Cape Town. Like
right.
where we were just, the Lord was so faithful. I mean, we were learning, or we're going to talk about it here, some of the leadership stuff
right,
that
right.
I was learning and hitting my head all the time.
Yeah.
It felt like, but God was faithful to just continually move. And it was just, yeah, we have a lot of stories of people getting healed, people getting yep. touched by God, set free, delivered, you know, demonic deliverance,
yep.
That kind of thing. And so some of those stories are in that book, and,
yep.
and that was kind of birthed out of that season.
It was a great church. I remember being there various times, you know, over the years when I come in to either speak or do a seminar or preach or hang out with you or whatever.
Right.
And it's a great church. And we're going to talk a lot about leadership principles, just a little bit more in your story just as a background. Then you ended up coming back here.
Yes.
The USA. Talk about that.
Yeah. So we handed the church over to our right-hand couple in Cape Town. And we felt a few years before I was in prayer and I felt like the Lord told me, I want you to give 2 more years to Cape Town and I'm sending you to the United States.
Wow.
My wife and I, my wife Cherie, we had this sense of being sent to South Africa. So we were like, okay, so that means there's mandate, there's grace, there's ability, you know, to go and do what God has called us to do there. And when I felt like the Lord said, I'm sending you to the U.S., I was like, okay, we're not just going home.
Right.
Like
right.
this isn't just a typical, like you're done now with this season of your life and now go home. It was like, okay, so the same type of purpose, mandate, grace that we were sent to South Africa by mm-hmm. God with is now happening for us to come to the United States. Mm-hmm. And we had no clue. I mean, we packed up our family. We have 5 kids. We have 14 suitcases between the 7 of us and sold everything else, gave everything else away, and moved to the United States and basically restarted our life, you know,
yeah,
I mean, in
really.
That sense. It wasn't that we didn't have relationships here or anything.
Sure.
But yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was part of that journey back. I've
heard you say many times that the last year or so in South Africa was the most amazing time.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, as far as blessing and miracles and ministry and whatever, just
well,
awesome.
I mean, God was doing miracles for years already. However, it was a time where I felt like I had finally figured stuff out
yeah, yeah.
of how to be a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Like my learning curve was steep mm-hmm. just in terms of leadership and being a lead pastor in an inner city environment and working with people, especially with different cultures together. I mean, our church was a real melting pot of cultures.
Right. I remember that well.
And so that was kind of the focus.
Right. So. And you get back, as you said, work with Barry Whistler, School mm-hmm. of Supernatural Ministry.
Yep.
And then you got an offer, an opportunity to work in a Dove church. When you were in South Africa, obviously you were leading a Dove church there.
Right. Yeah. So I became associate pastor of the church that we were attending. The Dove Church we were attending.
The church that you were in the youth group when you grew up.
Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So it's kind of a, you know, a full circle moment for our life. Just, you know, coming into that as an associate pastor there. And then, you know, within a year or two, the lead pastor said, listen, I really feel like God's calling me to go into full-time chaplaincy, which is really his sweet spot. And he moved that direction, and I became the lead pastor there.
Your life has been transition and transition and transition and transition. I mean, that's really, you think about it, really.
Yeah.
You've been through so many transitions over the years.
I sat down, I figured it out, like, from the time that the Lord said, two more years in Cape Town, I'm sending you to the United States. Yeah. That was like 9 years ago. And it's just been constant change since then. Like, you know, so like 9 years of transition. There is something to like transition fatigue. You know?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah,
but we're not feeling it right now, praise God.
So. Praise God is right. Yeah, well, we're so blessed God brought you here for such a time as this. And again, we had a whole other podcast on the succession, so we don't really need to talk about that here. But I do want to talk to you about leadership and things you've learned about leadership over the years. And in fact, I'm hoping to get you for a couple podcasts here, because there's so much inside you that I believe our listeners need to hear. Let's talk just for a few minutes about team building. What have you learned about team building over the years?
I think my personality, so on the DISC profile, right? Yeah. Like I am a DI, or if I'm not the lead person, I'm an ID. So I like to relate to people.
Now, for people who don't understand that profile, can you just explain that? Explain
So D your and D I, tends to be very driven, dominant, likes to achieve a lot of things.
Right.
Your I represents people who love relationships and love to be connected, you know, love connectedness with other people. S is more people who are like stable and love consistency. Mm-hmm. And C is like your engineers, right?
Yeah,
like
your detail people, right?
Details, yeah. And so for me, I kind of, you know, I live in the DIID zone. So I love to get things done, but I love to do it with people. And that's kind of something that I've always had. So having teams or being a part of teams was always something that was more natural to me, mm-hmm. but leading people in teams, I really had to learn. I mean, I remember doing different initiatives in church leadership and just not understanding that I had a unique perspective as a leader, thinking that everybody else saw what I saw
exactly.
and just were either being lazy or didn't want to do it or, you know, didn't understand. And the reality is they weren't. They were being who God had created them to be.
Right.
And I didn't understand that my perspective was a unique perspective and that the burden and the responsibility to communicate vision was on me.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, vision like or direction once or twice and like expect people to get it.
Exactly.
Right? And like, no, it doesn't work that way. And everyone hears differently too,
right?
So like actually going through a process of building relationships and understanding who people are, helping people understand, number one, who they are. And then it was also helpful for me to understand who they were.
Right.
To communicate in ways that I knew they understood what I was saying.
Yes.
And that they understood, you know, what was being said as well. So that whole journey and learning that took years.
I think you learned that much quicker than me because I've got a DI personality too. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, I hear you. I really thought everyone thought like me.
Yeah.
It's really pretty proudful to say that. You know?
I think every leader thinks that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. But I think you've learned much quicker than me. It took me years and years and years to know how to build a team, get people who are different than me on the team. And now we've been blessed, of course, to work with people for 30, 35, 40 years has been a great blessing. Talk more about teamwork.
Sure. I mean, just to that point there, Larry, we were working in a totally different culture from, you know, our home culture.
Right.
Which, you know, that just, it demands that you go into every conversation with a learning.
Correct.
You know, your learning antennas are up, right? So that was probably why that happened for us. It was just a little steeper of a learning curve mm-hmm. because we were working from people in different socioeconomic levels, different cultural backgrounds, different race groups. It was everything just all at once. And praise God, somehow we survived, but.
Yeah. You did. Yeah. You sure have. Anything more on teamwork?
So I think not being afraid to overstate something, not being afraid to own vision.
Good.
I used to have a sense of direction that where we were supposed to go, And then I would try and get everybody else to actually bring that out instead of me being the one to say the direction,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I did the same thing.
Sometimes leaders do that, you know, where it's like, hey guys, I think, you know, really internally you have this sense of direction, right? Of where you should go, but you try and make other people say it so it sounds like their idea. And as opposed to just owning that and saying, hey, this is where I sense. What do you guys sense? Because in essence, I was expecting them to be me.
Right.
And they couldn't be me. They're not me, right? Like they have a piece to the puzzle that I don't have. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of trying to get them to be me or have my perspective, I need to be able to share my perspective and then let them bring what God has given them to bring.
Exactly.
To add to that perspective so that we have a whole picture as a team together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard you say already something like this, that there's a leadership team and they're all thinking, if only we had a better leader. Is that right? I heard you say this various times. We could go somewhere, right?
It wasn't my idea.
Tell me the other half of that.
I heard somebody else. Yeah, I heard this from somebody else. I don't know who. But just, you know, the tendency in leadership is to think, man, if I just had a better team, we could really go somewhere and go.
Right.
Like, you know, and the team is thinking, man, if we just had a better leader, like we could really go somewhere and accomplish things in God. And I had to really have faith for this. And God actually corrected me in this area, is that there's a vision and a place to go in God that he has for us. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that God brings alongside of a leader. And it is possible to go where God wants you to go with the team of people that actually comes together. And many times, either team members or team leaders don't have faith in each other to go where God wants them to go. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, don't wait until you try and find some superstar somewhere. There's dynamics that come with that that's not great either. You know, but it is possible to go where God has called you to go with the team of people that he has provided and brought around. And so having faith for that, I think Steve Backlund says, like, life is hard enough, let alone, you know, not being on a team with a leader that doesn't believe in you, right? Like, that's terrible, you know, and that's a really good learning.
What do you tell someone who's not wired like you, but they're in leadership? You know, you're a DI leader, you get vision, you get direction, and you learn to resource your weaknesses and all those things. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of leaders who meet with me in confidence, and they'll say, I'm not that kind of leader. How do I move ahead? What do you tell them?
I think, you know, there is no like secret sauce in that sense. I think the real key is just number one, figure out how God has made you. Figure out what you're good at, what your strengths are, and then move with teams of people where you have helped them define who they are. And if we can all pool our best strengths, you know, I'm a visionary leader. Not every leader is a visionary leader.
Right.
You know, doesn't have the the driven horsepower maybe, but there's this place of saying, hey, you know, what God has called us to do is able to happen with the sum of all of our best strengths.
Yes.
So if we can pool that and we can bring that together, bring that to the table and get everyone being honest, because sometimes because of cultures and family upbringing and all that kind of thing, people will have, you know, what it takes to move forward in those in areas of leadership, but they won't actually bring it to the table,
right?
You know, because of history or they're not secure with the current leaders or whatever. And so if we can get everyone being honest around the table and get everyone functioning in their best gifts, their best strengths, then I feel like, man, you know, God's call, God's key desire for every generation is possible, right? Like we're praying, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is possible. I believe it's already deposited within the people that are here around us for our generation. Mm. We just got to unlock it. And that's the goal of leaders.
Awesome. We are out of time. I want to have you back. We want to talk more about leadership. I got a lot of questions for you about healthy leadership and guarding your heart and how God's a strategist and all kinds of things I want to ask you in future podcasts. So we're going to have you back. For all of our listeners today, again, check out the show notes. Check out Encountering the Supernatural. Information there on Merle. Again, he is the International Director Designate as of today. Soon will be the International Director of Dove International. We're excited about that. And we're so glad you joined us today. Again, the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast is the place we just try to find small things we can change to make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of those that we serve. And we're so glad you joined us today. So again, pick up the book if you're interested. And we will look forward to seeing you back here again next week on the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast. Merle Shank, thank you. Looking forward to having you back.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.